Amen. I want to thank all the folks that have left already because they've gone back out with the children and so forth. It is a delight to see the young people portray the nature of the Christmas story. And I want to just read, or I want you to consider just a couple of things tonight and the simplicity of the message. It's been my privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. And through the years, I can remember many missionary presentations in which they're speaking to the different ministries that they have and the children's ministries that they no doubt begin when they arrive on the field and some children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And almost without exception, when the missionaries begin to tell of their children's ministries, they demonstrate some presentation just like you've seen tonight. And it is normally from all over the world, and it can be in Europe and Asia and so forth, and in places where they've never really heard the story of Christmas. And it's amazing to me at how sometimes it's very simple because they don't have as many kids, and so they'll have a Joseph and a Mary and then a baby in a manger, and then they'll have one wise man, and they'll have two angels, and they'll have one shepherd. And then, of course, the Christmas story will grow as they get more and more children. But in my mind's eye, I can see those missionary presentations as they tell the story in many foreign countries. And here tonight, we've been blessed with numerous individuals. And when the initial sheep and donkeys and cows got really tired, they brought in reinforcements. Did you see that? And they brought in additional angels and added to the angelic host. But really what it speaks to me on is the simplicity of the story of Christ. And I tell you, it's a blessing to me. My wife at Christmas time doesn't give me very complicated gifts. And it's not like there's some roadmap or some schematic that is going to demonstrate to me how this is all going to work. So one of my Christmas gifts this year was a coin cup. I like to keep the change in my truck organized. And so she gave me a coin cup, and all you do is insert the coin, and it adds it all up for you. And I'm like, man, this is fantastic. So I always know how much change I have in my cup. It's real simple. You just drop in the penny, the dime, the nickel, the quarter, and you know exactly what's there. It's simple. But God gave us the story of his coming to the earth in a very simple way. And the young people demonstrated tonight the nature of Joseph and Mary on that first night with the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to the earth and was born. And as Joseph and Mary were there in that setting, and there was, of course, no room for them in the inn, the Bible says that that great angelic host appeared unto the shepherds and told them this great news and the great news of his tidings of great joy. Well, it is very simply the story of Christ being born as a man. The Bible says that there was a reason for that. In Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." It's a very simple issue. It's a very simple problem, but there was a simple solution. The problem was our sin, and the Bible says that our sin goes all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve when they were in the garden, and the Bible says that Eve partook of the fruit and then gave to Adam, and he willfully disobeyed Almighty God. And therefore, the Bible says that death is passed upon all of us because we have all sinned. It's very simple. Sin is anything that I say, do, or think that displeases a holy God. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world that he might save you and me from our sin. I would not have to look back very far in my life, and I would recognize that, in fact, at times, I have thought things that displeases God, I have done things that displease Almighty God, and I've said things that displease Almighty God. And the Bible says that all of us are sinners and we've come short of the glory of God. It's a very simple message that Jesus Christ was born into this world to Joseph and Mary, Mary being that virgin that would conceive of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that on that night, God became flesh. We understand the truth and the simplicity of that manger scene. As Joseph and Mary found no room in the inn, but they went there that they might have this child born and Mary gives birth. But it's not just the story of his birth that's so simple. It's the story of redemption that is so simple. The Bible says that I must put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's one of the very first verses that our young people learn in our Christian school. It's one of the very first verses that the young people learn in children's church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's interesting to me that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated to the disciples that he wanted all of the children to come unto him. Why? This is something that even a child can understand. The Apostle Paul said to the Philippian jailer there in the book of Acts, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul responded and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." If you were to walk back to my office with me tonight after the service, I have in my office a number of different books from different religious authors. And I also have some different pamphlets and so forth, and can demonstrate to you what other religions say about eternal life. And in my office, on one of the shelves there, I have a pamphlet that's from a religion that would be very familiar to every one of you if I were to name it right now. And as you open up that brochure, it unfolds. It's a trifold brochure, and it has a large schematic in it. And it demonstrates for you how you can have eternal life according to their religion, depending upon at what point in time you interacted with their religion. If you were born into their religion, or if you came to know their religion through marriage, or you came to know their religion through some other process or influence from a friend or something like this. And it shows the course and the route that you're supposed to take, and it has all these arrows, and what you're supposed to do in the event that sin is found in your heart, and what you're supposed to do at this stage of your religiosity. And it's this roadmap according to religion that tells you what's necessary for you to have eternal life. And I'm saying to you tonight, it's not by a roadmap of religion that we gain eternal life. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now there's only two choices about that verse that we can believe. We can either believe that Jesus Christ is a bold-faced liar and that everything he said in that verse is an outright lie, therefore we need not heed anything that he said. Or we can take what he said at face value and accept that he was telling us the truth. And so it's not some kind of masterful schematic, and depending upon the time frame in which I would be interacting with this man-made religion. No, the truth of the matter is that it all boils down to what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world to take your place of punishment. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot be born into salvation. The Bible says that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is according to his mercy that he saves us. Boy, I love the simple nature of the manger scene and the manger story. Even the young people, the smallest of young people, can understand that Jesus was born on that night in Bethlehem. I love the simplicity of the salvation message. But there's a third thing that's very simple to understand. It's our responsibility in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, and the simplicity of our responsibility to go and tell someone else. On that night when the angelic host appeared, they sang praises to Almighty God, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now I imagine that if you and I were one of those shepherds on that night, we would have had to tell somebody. "Hey, Fred, you won't believe what happened last night. What about the guy that called in sick that night in the shepherd field? Hey, I'm under the weather. I won't make it tonight." What do you think it was like when they called that guy back? Said, "Hey, man, you really missed it." What about the individual that was on vacation that night? Probably on a cruise in the Mediterranean. And he missed that night of work. How many shepherds didn't show up that night because they thought it would be just like every other night? And yet the angelic host told them the greatest story. And then the Bible says they went out from that place, and we looked at this last Sunday night. They went out from that place, and they couldn't help but tell someone else. You see, if you and I saw that kind of miraculous event, we would surely go and tell somebody. It's very simple and it's very straightforward. You've been changed by Jesus Christ. The story of Bethlehem has become true in your own heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was not just born in a place. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in your heart. You came to know him as your Savior. And now you have the responsibility to tell someone else. Well, Pastor, who could I tell? Well, do you have a family member that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? They need to know the Savior. You have a neighbor that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. In this area, it's probably not that much of a shock that you'd have one or more neighbors that do not know the story of Bethlehem as it's been presented tonight. And you could tell a neighbor, perhaps a coworker. You'd say, listen, this is what Jesus did for me. It's very simple and it's very straightforward. Well, Pastor, they might ask me some difficult questions. They might ask me where Cain got his wife. And I don't know the answers to all those questions. You know what? Those are all interesting questions and maybe questions that should be answered at an appropriate time. But you know, they really should be set aside and we should really focus in on what they've done with the simplicity of the salvation message. It's a very simple story. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger. The young people presented it tonight. It's a very simple story. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he died on that cross. He shed his blood for you and for me. You see, if religion can save, there was no purpose in the death of Christ. If our finances could save, there'd be no purpose in the death of Christ. But the simple message is this, that God so loved you that he gave his very best, his only begotten son. And Jesus took your place of punishment. He took my place of punishment. And there's a simple responsibility that comes from knowing Christ as our Savior, and that simple responsibility is to go out and tell someone else. And then there's a fourth thing that's really simple, and the Bible teaches us this in a straightforward way. The Bible simply says that Jesus is coming back again soon. We do not know the hour, we do not know the day, but just as Jesus came the first time and was born in a manger and came as a lamb that would go to the cross of Calvary to save his people from their sins. Just as he came the first time, the Bible says, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And there's a simplicity to the fact that Jesus Christ himself is coming again. And I ask you tonight, are you ready for his second coming? You see, I wasn't there on that original night of victory when God became flesh. I wasn't there that night with Mary and Joseph. I wasn't in the shepherd field on that first time that he came. But boy, I tell you what, I'm excited about his second coming. And Jesus Christ will return and he will call his children home. And my friend, there couldn't be a simpler message in all the Bible than to understand that Jesus is coming again. And we must be ready. Say, Pastor, how do I make myself ready? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The young people presented to us the simplest of stories. Mary and Joseph experienced the incarnation of Almighty God. His incarnation meant that he would live a sinless life. He would go to the cross of Calvary and very simply give himself for each and every one of you. Why? So that we can in turn go out and tell someone else that stands in need. Very simple things that are found in the Word of God. And yet what's interesting, there are so many people alive in the world today that stumble over the simplicity of the Word of God. An individual came to Christ and said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Bible says he stumbled and he walked away without knowing Jesus Christ. Another said, listen, what can I give that I might obtain eternal life? and he walked away. He stumbled at the simplest of things. I tell you what's amazing is I've watched many children that come to church week after week, and they understand simple faith in Almighty God. And they go home and they tell mom and dad, they go home and they'll tell granddad and grandmom, they'll go home and tell aunt and uncle, cousins and everything like this. And it's amazing at how brilliant that adults can sometimes be and stumble at the simplest of truths. You see, God didn't give us some great schematic that we have to decipher and walk all the way through. God simply said, I was born of a virgin. I gave my life on the cross. Receive me as your Savior. Go and tell somebody because I'm coming again. Tonight, Jesus could very well return. It could be the entrance of the King. Are you ready for the simple truth of Christ's return? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night for you to receive the greatest gift that has ever been given and to call upon the name of the Lord and to be saved even at this very hour. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the story of Bethlehem. Thank you for coming to this earth, for being born in due time, for giving your life a ransom for all. The Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost without Jesus Christ. But in April of 1976, Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And if my Savior should return today, I'm ready to go. I've made the choice to receive Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Perhaps there's someone tonight that's gathered here in the audience that's never heard the story of Jesus, of His birth or of His death, or the good tidings that can come to all men when His story is told. And perhaps right now in the quietness of this moment, they would, with their head bowed and their eyes closed, pray something like this: Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I know that I have sinned against your word, and right now I repent of that sin and ask you to come into my heart. Would you save me today? Perhaps there's one or more individuals that's gathered tonight with the expectation that they would see a program of children demonstrating a story, and perhaps to this point they've thought of that story as being a wonderful fairy tale or a heartwarming Christmas story. But in fact, this is the truth that has application for all men. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so it is my heart's desire that each one tonight that's gathered in this audience would know for sure that Jesus is their Savior. They'd understand the simple nature of His birth, the simple nature of His death and provision of salvation, the simplicity of our responsibility to go out and tell somebody else, and the simple truth that He's coming again one day. May we be ready for the Lord's return. Thank you for our time together tonight. Would you bless these dear folks that have invested themselves in the lives of our young people? We thank you for parents and grandparents alike. We thank you for the hours that have been put in to prepare for the service tonight. We thank you for protecting the children from different illnesses. And Lord, we thank you for how they've done in the presentation, and we're just delighted to be able to hear yet again from this great Christmas story. Thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.